Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Relationships are like an empty bowl, and they'll remain empty unless you put more in them than you take out. And although it's possible to give without loving, you cannot love without giving. Great way to start the show. Food for thought. All of us at some point in time ask ourselves, why am I in this relationship? That's what the topic's going to be today, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today I'm going to be talking about the art of living with people. Sometimes something that's easier to do if the people in your life are like you and share similar interest. But you know that old cliche, opposites attract. That's when it starts getting difficult. And sometimes even to the point where it just feels unbearable, where you just feel like you're trapped and you just need out. The old cliche, love is blind, is more true when we're in the beginning of relationships than as it matures. And at that point in time when love is blind, those differences between people are something that we just overlook. Maybe our friends are telling us, oh, are you sure you want to do this? But we just overlook it. And then as the relationship starts to go into the different stages, all of a sudden, all those differences that you didn't see before start to become points of contention. And that point, those points of contention can create a power struggle. And in the art of living with people, I'm going to be talking about how you can live with people by understanding more about them through the world of personality. And then even realizing that while opposites do attract and that there is always some struggle, that the differences between the two of you certainly can create a well-rounded team. You just have to know what those differences are and how to be able to deal with them, and more importantly, how to live with them. Now, I've talked a lot about the relationships being with our partner, our spouse, but you know, this relationship situation goes with the people we work with, our friends, it goes with our children. And one of the things that I found in my work with personality is that personality differences in people doesn't have anything to do if your children are different than you. It doesn't have to do with genetics. What it has to do, it's just a different form of expression around their personality. So it should be an interesting show, and I'm going to be sharing how each of the four personality colors look at relationships and really what they expect out of them. And the point of contention or struggle always comes when we have needs and those needs aren't being met. And if they're not being met over a long period of time, then our mind starts to work and think, you know, it's easier to be out of this and get what I need than it is to be able to go to the person and actually say to them, this is what I need. One of the things in relationships with people who are close to us, we really believe they should be able to read our mind. And in reality, they don't, nobody's capable of really doing that. We can look at patterns of thinking, but we really can't read your mind. So, you know, sometimes we've just got to tell people what we need, and then also tell people that what you're doing isn't acceptable from our way of looking at things or our standards. So really, this is the art of living with people and going and looking at the whole part of what brings us together and how we're going to be able to live with those differences in a way that it can be a positive versus a negative. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3260. That's in the U.S. and Canada. And international callers, you can dial your international calling code and then 425-644-5620. I would like to announce that I'm going to be holding several events in the month of October and November, and I'd love for you to join me. October 23rd through the 25th, I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan for an evening of readings and then a two-day workshop on sacred transition. What I'm going to be doing is in this workshop is I'm going to be talking about my near-death experience and what I learned all about living and dying and then crossing over, what it's like. And the purpose of doing this is to be able to help people who have lost loved ones wondering, you know, are they okay? And I'm going to share a perspective of what I learned. And then also we have so much fear around dying, but really I've learned over the course of all of my working with people is that we really don't have a fear of dying. We have a fear of suffering. So this is a very informative workshop that is literally, I hope, going to change the way we look at the dying process and bring back the grace around it and be able to see that it is a natural part of the cycle of life and that we can stop second guessing. And I'm also going to talk about if you ever do get visited by people who have crossed over, the way that they will come and visit you. So it's a very enlightening workshop. I also have a very special guest, a medium, who is going to be there, and we're going to be actually answering questions from the audience in regards to what their loved ones who have transitioned would like to be able to hear. So it's both a metaphysical and a spiritual perspective of the death and dying. And I think that, you know, it should be a very enlightening program. I've given it a couple times and it's just a tremendous, tremendous program and relief and comfort to a lot of people. Also, I'm going to be having a class November 14th and 15th. This 2-day class is called The Light of the Body. I'm going to be talking about auras and chakras and the language of energy and telling it, what it can tell about yourself. That's going to be in Watsonville, California, near Santa Cruz, California. And then finally, on November 21st through the 23rd, I'm going to be teaching a 3-day workshop on the sacred self, the journey, the experience, and the work. And this lecture is going to be talking about the sacred self, how to meet that sacred self, how to be able to bring those inherent gifts that we each have inside around that sacred self into our life, how to be able to use it and its voice of intuition in helping us in decision making. And so the class is going to be lecture and then also a lot of experiential activities and then a lot of introspective. All of them are being able to hopefully get you to be able to touch that sacred self, recognize it, and know how to allow it to guide you in your life. So if you'd like any more information on any of these programs, you can visit either website that I have, Ritberger.com, Ritberger.com, or the Ritberger Institute, Ritberger actually, but spelled Ritberger, Ritberger Institute.com. There's online registration. There's information about all the classes. And so I hope that you're going to, join me. Also, I'm going to be offering a new channeling that's going to be coming out later this week, and it's on the latest energy shifts and what we can expect from an energy standpoint and decision making and how it's going to be affecting us for the next couple of months. If you aren't on my mailing list and you'd like to receive this channeling, again, you can go to Ritberger.com and fill out the contact form, and then I'll be sure that you're on that mailing list so you'll be able to get this channeling. Okay, so let's go back to the art of living with people. If you think about it, most of our relationships are due more to chance and circumstance than they are by our own choice. We don't get to pick out our coworkers or our teachers or our neighbors or the people we have to interact with who provide us a lot of the services in life. They usually come through us through some twist of fate that placed them in our path. Now, I know that that twist of fate is really around sacred agreements and the fact that they really are there because in some way they're going to be able to help us be able to learn more about who we are and to be able to change some of the parts of ourselves that we really just found out or we know that needs to be changed. So again, we don't really get to choose those people from the standpoint of our conscious level, but we do from the fact that they're in our life. Yet because they are in our lives, we have to somehow learn that there's a process that they're offering us to be able to learn more about who we are. We have to learn to accept them and interact with them in a way that's cordial and social and a positive way, even if they are different than who we are. And we have to do this. There's the fine line in being able, the art of living with people is it's about accepting these people and the way they see the world and their perspectives on what should be done and shouldn't be done without compromising ourselves. I know as a medical intuitive, it's that compromise that always seems to get us. It's what creates that fight or flight. And if a person is in our life and it's compromise, 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 and yet we don't try to share what we need, then it'll continue to compromise until one day we find out that we need to say to them, you know, this isn't acceptable. So what we have to do is we have to really go in and think about all of us that we don't agree in the same way and that relationships aren't easy. They are work, especially if you're with people who are different than you. Many of them are fraught with difficulties and some are more complicated than others. This can do with not only people that you work with and friends, but oh my goodness, within the family. I happen to have a red father. I have a red sister, a green mother, a green brother, and I'm a yellow personality. And it's just a constant situation with me to always act as this mediator between them. And I'm thinking, why did this take place? How could I have chosen such a situation? And why can't they see eye to eye? And that's a lot of what got me into the personality world. We also know that some relationships require more energy. It's more energy than we actually get back. We have to use that as an evaluation. We have to also accept in personalities that some people are going to push our hot buttons, while some people are going to push what I call the pure joy buttons. Some relationships will slowly disintegrate and wear out their usefulness and then suddenly collapse, and then some will suddenly collapse overnight. So really, when we look at relationships, we have to keep these things in mind and always evaluating, is the relationship of benefit to us, mutually beneficial to us and to the other person? I heard a quote one time that says, anytime you're in a relationship with anyone other than yourself, there's bound to be dysfunction. And the more I thought about this statement, the more I realized what it was referring to was really the role of personality in determining how we interact with people and how it even influences the type of people that we attract and the people that we don't. That personality is like a inner radar system, and it's always sending out messages that says, hi, this is who I am, this is who I am. And it will naturally attract people to us who are like us. But what happens is that sometimes we get people who will come and interact with us who are opposite, and our brain is immediately going, oh, bad chemistry, back out quick. But our conditioning comes in and goes, now stop that. You need to stay in this relationship, at least listen to what they have to say, be able to, you know, follow along. If you may not agree, if you don't, then speak up, but don't become confrontational. And we have all these rules around relationships. So when we go in and we have to look at relationships, any time that we're going to interact with anyone other than ourselves, there's bound to be dysfunction. And then I always add is a yellow personality. And if you're a yellow, you don't even need to interact with anyone else. You just need to be able to interact with yourself and say that wonderful magical word like, wow, that was really stupid. And then we just turn on ourselves. So again, it comes back to personality. The topic of relationships is one that really is key to our life. And it's a lot of our successes and failure. And it really determines a lot of how we feel about ourselves. So I ask myself, what are relationships? Well, they're physical versus a chemical reaction. A physical reaction of two substances are mixed together without either being transformed, meaning that both remain in their original state. And that is an actual quote of Carl Jung. In a physical reaction, two substances are mixed together without either being transformed, meaning that both remain in their original state. That's really what a relationship is all about. It's about getting together and not getting that angst or that chemical reaction around the differences. What are relationships? They're mingling, they're merging, where both people are more than they were before, and where both seek to interact in a harmonious way, complement each other. That is the ultimate goal of every relationship, whether people are like us or they're opposite of us. Relationships are very transcending. What I mean by that is they expand our self-perception, and they teach us how to adjust to our circumstances. They show us how to rise above and move beyond our limitations, and then also nothing is greater than to be able to see yourself through someone else's eyes. You learn a lot about who you are, all of the things you're wonderful at, and then all the things that you need to change. Relationships are also designed to create a safe, secure place where we can feel supported as we move through our own personal growth. And then the last thing that I realized about relationships is that they offer us the opportunity to be able to go in and recognize what needs to be changed. They're really mirrors for us. And a lot of times we'll say, you know, I don't like that in that person. And then a lot of times there may be this little aha moment in our mind that goes, oh my gosh, I think I do that same thing. So again, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to see ourselves through other people's eyes. If you come in and you look at relationships from what they're designed to do, they're all around personal growth. They're all around spiritual evolution. And if you can see them from those perspectives, then what you'll find is that when you're with people who are similar to you, those are the rewards. When you're with people who are opposite of you, those are the lessons, and the rewards are absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to continue talking more about relationships, but let's jump in right now. Hi, Jan from Las Vegas, line one. Hi, how can I help you?
Hey. Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. Wow.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to comment on what you're going to be doing in the next few months. I wish there could be some CDs of these workshops that you're giving, because I would love to hear about the death and dying and what you went through. I don't know if you're ever going to have something like that where we could just buy those CDs. I wouldn't be able to come to them.
Right. Well, you know what? Thank you for that idea, honey. I will. I'm going to be starting my own internet TV show. We're hoping in December. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be taking a month at a time and talking about a topic. And then what I can do is, from your suggestion, I'll see if I can do a month-long show on this, and then you can be able to get them on demand. So we'll look at doing that.
Great.
Thanks for the great suggestion. Yeah. And then also, I have a book that I'm going to be putting out next month. It's called Sacred Transition, Touching the Other Side and Coming Back. So that'll be available probably in the fall of next year. So, but thanks, honey. So how can I help you?
Okay.
You've done a great job helping me.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. It's my health condition, and you've told me several times in the past, and it just doesn't go away. And I did go to Mayo Clinic. Their diagnosis was chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. A couple years ago, you suggested that you didn't think it was chronic fatigue. You felt like it was a blood sugar thing, which I do still have blood sugar problems very badly, but they didn't think that I had diabetes yet.
Correct.
But I still don't have any energy. I'm wondering, I'm still really disabled, and I'm still having problems eating certain foods and my stomach, and I'm wondering if this is really a psychiatric thing, or if it really is a virus, maybe Epstein-Barr,
Let's go in. Yep, and you know, thank you, Jan, for being so persistent, and also for the validation on the sugar. You know, I do this work, and sometimes it's like, okay, Carol, it's very beneficial. So let's go in, and let's now take it through the different layers.
Okay.
And I want to start again at the physical body. You're absolutely right, honey. There is no diabetes. But what has occurred is that the immune system has become compromised. And I'm going to tell you, as I'm touching you, sweetie, the way this maps out, so you can look at the different layers to be able to do it physically, and then I'll jump in from a psychological standpoint. The issue is in the small intestine. It has to do with the way that your body works with glucose. That has to do with the pancreas. That's what I was talking about with the sugar.
Uh-huh.
As a result, the insulin isn't producing enough to be able to connect and bind to the glucose so it can transfer to the cells that gives you what you need. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of the energy burn that would get the body feeling, the cells feeling like they're actually vital again.
Yeah.
So when you go in, and so we've got that dynamics that's going on, and that dynamics creates a yeast fungus imbalance. It feels like you do have a candida that'll rear its head every so often. Right now I'm touching you. I cannot find it at all.
Okay.
But what you can do is, so we have insulin deficiency, and that is an indicator. That's why they were looking at the blood sugar thing.
Yeah.
So what we can do is we have to be able to put foods in the stomach that's going to be a complex carbohydrate. They're going to metabolize very slowly in a way that your body will be able to bind the insulin that you have and to be able to get you the energy that you need. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing when you're looking at food and looking at diet, complex carbohydrates. Go in and Google that and do some research. That means that you're going to probably do sweet potatoes. You're going to do, instead of white potatoes, you'll do brown rice. You'll do fibers. All of those things, fiber would help you tremendously. Okay. Now, in the immune system itself, the more greens, orange, and reds, fruits, and vegetables that you eat that are alkaline-based or complex in their way they metabolize is going to help get that pH balance in your gut. It's going to help you with your immune system.
Okay.
So, yes, there is Epstein-Barr virus. That virus, yes, there is. In fact, you were probably, I think, 11 or 12 years old, I pick up that you had picked up that virus.
Oh.
That's when the first time it was like a flu-like, you got tired, you didn't have a lot of energy, and then it would go away, and then I picked it up again, maybe 21 or 22, uh-huh. and I keep getting cycles of it, sweetie. So there is Epstein-Barr, and Epstein-Barr will not rear its head as long as our body is balanced in its acid alkaline. The other part, and all the things I talked about you with Diet Jan are going to help balance your immune system as well.
Okay.
And then when the immune system becomes tired, then the toxins, the way the body functions, the way it burns its energy or gets its energy, the way that it moves the lymph and the toxin from the bodies, everything goes into like those old, you know, vinyl records, 33 and a third. Everything is really slow. So we get toxin buildup in the muscle structure. The lymph system doesn't work as freely as it needs to. So we just feel like we're carrying this, you know, Mack truck that we're chained to trying to pull us, trying to pull it forward. So there's things, anti-inflammatories. I would like you to go to Dr. Mark Hyman's website.
Mark.
And then also H-Y-M-A-N.
Okay.
Also Dr. Andrew Weil, W-E-I-L-L, website. Look at things around inflammation and managing it. They'll talk about the foods that you should eat that are anti-inflammatories that are also complex carbohydrates.
Okay.
So see, I'm connecting the dots. So we've got gut, the lower gut. We've got the immune system. And then I go in the metabolism, and then the thyroid doesn't work the way that it's really designed, which is part of the oxidation of glucose in order to be able to give us energy. So we've got three dynamics that are going on. And if you look at physically, you can either start with the lower gut, or you can go and find out flower essence or herbs or things you could do for your immune system. Those things will help you. But it is. The thing that I'm finding now, that the reason this is lasting longer than when I picked it up before in your body is that, you know, it's your world is shrunk, honey, and rightfully so. You know, when you don't feel good, everything, you only do what you know that you're capable of doing, and that's the way your world is. So one of the things that I encourage you to do is every day take something, find something that you can do that doesn't tax your body so much that it puts it into fight or flight, but helps you psychologically get your world expanding a little bit more.
Okay.
The other thing is, honey, is that this isn't what you're experiencing isn't because you did something wrong.
Oh,
when I touch your immune system, sweetie, oh, you are so welcome. You know, what I keep finding is I keep finding in your lower gut guilt. I keep finding in your spleen that's tied to that immune system, self-directed anger. It's like, why can't I get over this? Why can't I do this? Why does my life change? Which is, oh my gosh, so human. So, you know, what I say to you is, sweetie, stop beating yourself up. This is where you are.
Okay.
Accept where you are. Don't accept staying there, but accept where you are. And then, again, something every day you can do for you that moves you forward. Okay. You've got a creative genius inside of you that just wants out. It just wants out. I mean, it's like it just wants to walk outside the door and be able to smell the fresh air.
Yeah.
It's, it wants to be able to, I find a painter inside you.
Uh-huh.
I find you could work in clay. You're so skilled at different mediums. Something every day.
I have been an artist in the past.
Yep. So every day I want you to paint yourself back to wellness.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a story. I have a client that came to see me several years ago, and her name was Billy. And Billy, at the time she saw me, was 93 years old.
Wow.
And Billy was like you. She was tired, and she couldn't figure out why. And I just wanted to say to her, Billy, my love, you're 93 years old. Your body is just beginning to slow down. Well, that wouldn't have been acceptable with Billy. So what we did is we said, okay, there was an artist inside of her as well. And I said to her, let's create healing mandalas. And I said, every day, Billy, I want you to take out a piece of your paper that you were having. She bought some artists.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Okay, thanks for hanging on, Jan. I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, my gosh. You know, one of the nice things about doing live radio is every so often something hiccups and, you know, Billy, my producer, just goes right into commercials. So we are back. So, sweetie, talking about Billy and we were talking about the healing mandalas.
Yes.
And what she did is every day in this mandala, she created a picture of what her life would be and what she would look like if she was in a healed place. And it really, really worked. And what she found is over the course of 4 months of doing this, that she was feeling better very early on into it, but she loved it so much in doing the process that she continued to do it. And I need to tell you that I talked to Billy not long ago. Billy is now 97 years old, so it was 4 years afterwards. Can you believe it? She is teaching people how to paint healing mandalas that are suffering from chronic illnesses or even life-threatening illnesses. So you know what?
Wow.
There's always hope, sweetie.
That's
so
great.
Do something.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Do something positive for yourself, something that gives you hope, something that gets you up every day. You do need to deal with your physical body because your mind will not let go until you do, and the art will be able to help you and see where we go from there. Check out Candida, autoimmune disorders, and that's really what you're working with.
Okay.
And then I wouldn't worry much about your thyroid other than the fact that I think your thyroid is going to come back to what it needs to do if we can just look at some of these other things. Also, you might want to look at metabolic syndrome or something. It's the same thing called Syndrome X, so you might want to look at those.
Syndrome X. Okay. And the antidepressant, you know, you don't feel that I need stuff like that?
You know what? You certainly could. I don't, it doesn't feel to me that you need that.
Okay.
But if you think you do, then I would encourage you, because I'm not anti-medicine, I would encourage you to talk to someone, get on something mild to be able to get started. If it would give you a reprieve at any point, to be able to be comfortable in your skin so your world can start to expand, then I'll tell you what, I'm all for it, Jan.
It won't do you. Helpful. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you are so welcome. The antidepressants, honey, aren't going to do any harm. You're not going to get on them and stay on them because it's not who you are.
Right.
You just need to just get comfortable in your skin again.
Okay.
So I think all those things will help.
Okay. This is great. Thank you so much. Boy, this really, really says for me.
Well, thank you, and we'll keep you posted. I hope you're on my email list, and I'll keep you posted on what we're going to do about the TV and everything.
Okay,
thanks, Jen.
Great.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. So let me go on in to Nikki in Louisiana. Hi, Nikki.
Hello.
Hi, hun. How can I help you?
Hi. First of all, I think your show's wonderful. I just love listening to you. I'm calling with a health question. And by the way, I am an orange personality.
Good girl. I love you, oranges.
Well, thank you. I developed a cyst on my lower eyelid, on my left eye. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a cyst on my upper lid maybe 10 years ago, and they had to cut that off. They said it was a blocked gland. I just wondered what you thought, because they said if I would soak it, it would go away, but I've been putting the warm compresses, and it's still there. I wondered if you could see if maybe it was anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, what it is there is a semi-solid fluid in it, and it is another one of the glands of the eyelid itself that just tends to get clogged. And, you know, when I go in, I would like to say that it has to do with makeup, but it really doesn't feel that way. It feels like it's just almost a genetic thing in your family to have sebaceous glands be able to get clogged, whether they're underneath the arms or they're on the back or they're on the lids themselves. This one actually has a semi-solid fluid in it. And what that feels like to me is it feels like a cyst that you could go ahead and do the compresses. That will take it down to some degree. But the semi-solid makeup of it almost feels like it's a chicken fat, hun. And I don't know that putting compresses, hot compresses on that will take care of it. Have you been to an ophthalmologist again?
I have. I think I'm going to end up going back and let them cut it out because it's not working. It went down a little bit, but it's still there and it's bothering me.
No, and you know, it's not only just the irritation that occurs of it, but it's also the appearance and so forth with it. When I said that you put the compresses, it would shrink a little bit. Absolutely. It took out that kind of that gelatinous, gaseous part of the cyst itself. But the fact that I've got this little presence of chicken fat, my sense is that in order to really take care of it, you're going to have it removed. And what will occur is that it's kind of like the one on the lid that you had, is that it just seals that particular gland up, and you should not have a reoccurrence in that area. But the fact that it's got the other, I really don't, even Edgar Casey would probably suggest that his castor oil packs and all the compresses wouldn't work, and I probably would go and I just have it removed, hon. I think that's the best thing for you.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I think I'll do that then.
Yeah. So I have a question, because are you connected with angels?
No.
Do you know much about angels?
Yes, I'm religious. I know a little bit about angels.
Okay. Well, that's good. So what I'd ask you to do is to just find an angel that you really can connect with and learn a little bit more about angels. For some reason, the metaphor I got around your eye is it had kind of an angelic energy to it. It said, you know, Nikki, you don't see the world like everybody else. Stop trying to look at it so hard through everybody else's eyes. Does that make any sense to you?
It really does. It sounds just like me. Exactly.
It does. Now, that's a gift from the angels that are always watching over you. Honey, you are different, and you're to see the world different. And if you can take that message and you can take that metaphor and you can recognize it about yourself, my sense is this one still needs to be removed, but my sense is that if you start seeing yourself through your own authentic eyes, I don't think we're going to have this problem again. Isn't that interesting for me? I'm usually not one to forecast health issues, but I really do tie it to that. So find an angel that you can relate to. I think you're going to find great comfort in all the wonderful changes you're making in your life right now around that.
Okay. That sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you so much for the kind words about my show and everything. That's very, very heartfelt. Makes my heart smile. So light and love to you, sweetie.
Okay, you're wonderful. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Bye-bye. Well, I've talked a lot about personality and how personality plays in the role of the art of living with people. And what I want to do is I teach personality by color. If you're not familiar with your personality color, like Nikki just said, I'm an orange. I tell you that I'm a yellow. If you're not familiar with your personality color, you can always go onto my website on ritberger.com, ritberger.com. There's a mini assessment on that site. And then also I have a new site that's called whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. And there's an assessment on there, and you'll just answer a few statements and voila. You become a personality color, and you'll learn a lot, not only about yourself, but about the differences in people. So I teach it by four colors, red, orange, yellow, green. So the way that the red looks at the personality is what they need from their relationships is they need commitment, devotion, shared interests, consistency, predictability, and accountability. And like Nikki, who is an orange, what she needs from her relationships are emotional support, shared responsibilities, security, dependability, cooperation, and the freedom to express emotions. The yellow personality, what they need from their relationship is intellectual stimulation, autonomy, companionship, shared principles and values, reliability, and they need to know that you are committed to them. What does the green personality need from their relationship? Creative expression, flexibility, spontaneity, closeness, and that closeness is a deep spiritual intimacy and a closeness, lack of conflict, emotional support, and most important, acceptance. Now, while each of these colors have their own individual needs around their relationships, one thing that all colors share in common, no matter whether they're red, orange, yellow, or green, they need to know that they can trust you. And that you need to know you can trust them. That is the very best way to keep the relationships alive. Here are some of the other suggestions you can do in the art of living with people is listen to what other people are saying, because they're going to tell you through their words what they need from their relationship and then also what their personality color is. Also, give without expecting anything in return. When you do, then you're never disappointed. Don't be quick to jump to conclusions or criticize. If you do so, so will they. Kindness, understanding, trust, and consideration are worth more than any of the selfish pleasures that we can gain from a relationship. If you're only in the relationship to fill your own needs, then reality is it's not a relationship. So food for thought on how to live with people. I encourage you to go in and to look at your own personality color. I'm going to squeeze a couple more calls in. Hi, Eddie from South Carolina. Hi, thanks for calling me.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was just wondering, you touched on something very interesting about the colors. But right now I'm basically dealing with an issue with my stomach and respiratory system.
Okay.
So I just wanted to ask you if you see anything.
Okay, so let's go in. The first thing that I find is that the respiratory part, respiratory part, honey, is allergies. And the allergies are tied to the stomach. So they're two like bed partners. So what I want to do, I'm going to go in your stomach. There's a couple of things that dynamics that are going on. One is, have you been tested at all for H. pylori in your stomach?
I don't understand that.
Okay. H. pylori is a bacteria that we get from foods that we ingest. Foods that maybe haven't been cleaned as much as they need to, or maybe they have some kind of a bacteria inside the food itself, and it gets in the stomach. And what it does is it causes the stomach to, what I say, turn on itself, and it causes it to become sour. It changes the hydrochloric acid dynamics in the stomach itself, and it can cause the stomach to feel raw. And what that means is when food enters into it, that stomach may feel like it's tightening or cramping. It doesn't have enough acid in the stomach. And as a result, food comes in and it goes out very quickly. And that food that goes out isn't always macerated or digested the way it needs. When I go into your stomach in that big bulb part of it, in that lower part, feels raw, hun. So it feels like there's something that is in your stomach that is causing it to become irritated. And when I touched it, it felt like it may be an H. pylori. Now, there's a couple things you can do with that, Eddie, is you can go in and you could have a test run. Or, hun, are you doing any kind of antacids or Prilosec or Nexium or anything?
No, but I was taking some Xantax every now and then. You know, okay. I thought it was Candida or something like that, believe it or not.
Yep, and you're very intuitive, because what happens is that when this bacteria gets in the stomach, like I told you, the dynamics, the food itself doesn't digest the way that it needs to, and it enters into that small intestine, not macerated or broken down as much, and it can cause a fermentation, and it can cause the presence of candida, which is a yeast bacteria imbalance. So when I go in at this moment in time, Eddie, I need to tell you, I'm not picking up the presence of candida, but I am picking up the residual of candida. Probably a week and a half ago, you were having some candida issues. What that would mean would be bloating. Sometimes it'll be constipation or diarrhea with people. Sometimes it's just an general distress in the small intestine. So going back to the stomach, hun, my sense is if you dealt with the stomach, and then that would help with the predisposition for candida in the lower gut. And then that would help with some of the respiratory allergies that I'm picking up as well. So what you could do is that, and I don't get paid any compensation for this, you can go back to your Xantax, or what you could do is you could even do Tums. And you don't want to do a lot of them, but Tums in the antacids, what they'll do is they will actually start breaking down the bacteria of H. pylori, and it'll help soothe your tummy and get it back to the place where what you put in your mouth is being broken down the way that your body's able to use it. The respiratory issues are tied to the allergies. You are food sensitive. I don't know if you know that, hun. There are certain foods that you eat that feel like they just create kind of this clogging or goo in your gut. And then that can show up in respiratory issues with you as well. Going in, what do you do for, well, I don't want you to have to answer that for it. What I pick up in the right lung is I pick up an inflammation in the right lung in particular, Eddie, in that main bronchial tube in the lung itself. It's got some inflammation in it, hun. I think it's tied to the stomach, but it also feels like your sensitivity is really high right now. And that inflammation is constricting the airflow specifically in the right lung, and right lung, and I think that's what's causing the respiratory issue. So there's things that you could do around that. Let's see, what could I have you do with that? You could change your diet. You could look at doing some anti-inflammatories. Lyme is very good. Lyme skin, particularly high in antihistamines, that would be able to help the inflammation. Lyme juice would. Let's see. I don't know. You could go to a natural over, I mean, you could go to an over-the-counter antihistamine, but we just need to get the inflammation down in the lung, and that's going to help you. What I was going to ask you is, and I don't want to have you tell me what you do for a living, but you feel like you're doing something that is irritating your lungs, that inflammation is there and it's setting it off. And I don't know if it's almost like it's got to do with petroleum, or it's got to do with some kind of cleaning fluid or something like that. That seems to set your lung off. So did I hit a chord there, sweetie?
Yeah, kind of, because I am somewhat of a clean freak, and I basically tend to mix chemicals myself, so I'm killing myself. I'm playing Russian roulette with chemicals.
Well, let's, you know, sweetheart, let's just not do that. So, you know, go in. You've got that good intuition, you know, when you're doing your little chemistry test and everything there. But that's what I'm picking up is that this is the inflammation is there. But when you get into this different chemical things, it's like it just causes it to flare. And that's what's part of that respiratory thing. So you are so good, Eddie. Thanks for sending to me like that, sweetie, so I could pick up on you.
Okay.
That was great. Okay, well, light and love. Take care of that tummy and, you know, maybe some, go back on the Zantac or maybe Zantac. Maybe what you want to do is Zantac. Let's get that right. Or maybe you want to do some Tums or something. That's going to help put you back pretty really quickly.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, you have a wonderful day. My pleasure, my pleasure. Before I'm going to finish taking a couple more calls, I'd like to invite you to join me on October 29th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for my Your Health teleclass. The topic of this month, and Eddie, you might want to be listening to this, sweetie, is GERD, acid reflux. And I know that you didn't have that a lot, but what we want to do is maybe just go in and look at it a little bit. So what we would like to also, I'm going to be talking about GERD, how it looks in the energy field, the origin site, symptom site, and the role personality plays in it. So, and the hidden meanings behind it. So following the teleclass, I always answer questions kind of like I'm doing right now on the radio show. The teleclasses are 60 minutes in time. In length, and if you would like to sign up, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then if for any reason you can't join me, then there'll be an audio download of the teleclass, and then also a printable PDF download where you can actually start saving some of these illnesses in the way I see them as a medical intuitive. All right, so let's go on down and see if I can squeeze in one more. Hi, Linda from Kentucky. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you, Carol. I have suffered from depression. After my son passed away, doctors put me on every type of antidepressant, and I didn't do well. I kept telling them I wasn't doing well, and I took myself off, I guess, about 5 years ago. And I'm still, I don't have some of the horrible symptoms I have with the antidepressants, but I still can't get focused and get simple things like paperwork done, and so I'm still having problems.
Okay, so absolutely, from the standpoint of what you went through, my goodness, that grief that overwhelms us does take time. One size doesn't fit all, and it takes time to be able to work through that. As a result also, honey, on top of the grief part of it, you've been working with a lot of guilt. And I want to congratulate you on the work you've done on both that grief and that guilt. That is a very important thing for you to be validated, so you know you haven't been working in a vacuum. You've been doing great work. The thing with the depression is that it's really a natural thing to think, since we lose someone, that we need to go on an antidepressant, and that's what it's for. But I'm going to tell you, hon, when I touch you, it doesn't feel like it has anything to do with the depression of the loss of your son. What I'm dealing with, honey, is I'm dealing with a thyroid issue. And I've got a thyroid that is sluggish. I can go back to your mom. Your mom has sluggish thyroid. From that standpoint, your serotonin isn't where it needs to be. That's a neurotransmitter. That's what helps us in the mood part of who we are, engaging in life, coping with life is serotonin. Also, with the thyroid being off, I'm getting some DHEA, so your sleep is off. And then I'm getting the melatonin. Again, that sleep that's off. So I think what we've been doing is, while the work the doctors first started certainly helped you, the thing is, sweetie, is that your body didn't need the antidepressants, and it was basically rejecting it. That's why I think that you were having the difficulties not only getting your body to accept them, but to be able to do the job that they need to do. The lack of concentration that I'm picking up is in a hypothyroidism situation. And then you take your age and the hormone changes that you're going through and that you've been through, sweetie, and then you take your genetic history around it and everything. And so we've got this thyroid that's just like, okay, lazy. I don't know. It's like it wakes up and goes, so what am I supposed to be doing today? And I think that if we went in, and do you have a naturopath or someone that you could go see, honey?
I need to find one. No, but I could find one.
You know, I would, and I would, and I, it, to me, it feels most comfortable to start you there because the thyroid is depressed in the way its energy and the way that it's functioning the way it needs to. That is, and that the chemical changes around the serotonin, DHEA, and the melatonin, that's what's creating a lot of the fuzzy thinking. So my thought is if I send you to a naturopath, what they can do is they'll run testing, through either hair follicle, and they'll be able to find out about the thyroid and then also some heavy metal that you have that's just been rattling around in your body for a while. I can pick it up in parts of your hair. I can pick up a little bit of alopecia. We've got some inflammation in some of the hair follicles. That's the difference in your hair quality, the lack of shine, and why your hair seems to be not as vibrant, or it's shedding more than it should. That's tied to your thyroid. And my thought is, yeah, so, oh, you are so good. I love you. So what you do is, you know what? Thank you for those kind of, you are good at sending to me. I love this. So what we need to do is get you to a naturopath. Let's start it on the natural way. And then what we can do is then we can go in and jumpstart it. And then the naturopath can monitor it, work with natural things. Your body loves natural things. It does not like in any way anything that's foreign in it. I mean, honey, if you were to go in and take a couple of Advil, your body for the first maybe dosage is good, and the second one goes, what are you doing to me? So your body's really sensitive. What the naturopath will do, they'll work with you. And then in being able to work with you, then they're going to be able to monitor it. And then if you need more help, then you could go and see a doctor. But they're going to put you on probably a Synthroid. And what that's going to do is it's going to take a little bit of time in order to adjust you. So the naturopath can adjust you first. I think that that would be very, very helpful for you.
You were so right about all my hair.
Yep. You know, and you're... Yeah, go ahead.
And the toxins. I did work in chemicals for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew there was something wrong there. You know, everything, you're just so good.
Oh.
I don't sleep. I don't sleep. So, you know, you hit everything. And my hair has been, there has been difficulty with this hair.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you know, when I go in and just kind of touch your light, you know, you're standing in front of me and my God, you're a glorious person. I mean, I look at you and you've got, you know, so much femininity and foo-foo about you, as my little granddaughter would say to me, you know, grandmother, she's got foo-foo about her, meaning that she's just got a prettiness, a femininity about her, and your appearance is very, very important to you. And so that's the reason that I was able to pick it up. By the way, sweetie, you have done, again, marvelous work. And something I normally don't get an opportunity to do, but I am going to tell you, and I'm learning to grow into this. Your son just entered in the room. And the room that I'm working in right now, what he wanted me to tell you is, you go. You go, girl. You go. I don't know. He sounds like he was a great cheerleader for you in your life and all the things. And he is just saying, you know, just go for it. Just go for it, Mom. You're going to get this thing done. And so just great work. And you have so much to be able to teach and help other people. That's another wonderful gift. So anyway, how I know that was real, I can feel him. I've got goosebumps all over my body. I mean, he was just a strapping young man, wasn't he?
He was. You are so good, Carol. Thank you so much.
Well, it is absolutely my pleasure. Light and love to you, sweetie, and you're good at sending back to me. Well, boy, I thank you for joining the show, joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I always love doing this work. I love the research, getting ready for the shows, but I think what is the nearest and dearest to my heart is being able to talk to every single one of you and to be able to touch that grace and that beauty of your light. So if you want to listen to this show or any of my shows, what I'd encourage you to do is to go to my website, website, www.ritberger.com. You can click on library. All of my show archives are there, and you'll be able to listen to this show as well as any of the other ones. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful week. I'll see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time on the Carol Reitberger Show. Light and love to you. It's just been a real pleasure today.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.